You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Forgive me if I sound a little congested. I'm dealing with some allergies, hopefully just allergies. My whole house has been sick. So I'm praying that I remain the last person standing and do not get sick as well, but we'll see. Nevertheless, I feel good, just a little congested. So forgive my voice. Today's episode, I want to provide some encouragement. It is August. It's back to school season, and I've been reflecting because I am entering into my second year of law school. Summer's coming to an end. I'm registered for my classes. I have my books. I'm just waiting for each professor to drop their syllabus, and then we get to work. The first day of school is like the first day of class, but the work starts before then because there's always a lot of readings to prepare. So as I am sitting and reflecting a bit about the past year, and I wanted to come on this show and have a discussion about being non-traditional. And non-traditional can come in different ways. I'm going to share with you my experience within the law school context, going back to school as an older student, but that's not just what non-traditional means. And I want you to view or listen to this episode through a lens that is relevant to you. So non-traditional can look like going back to school after many years away, a career change, starting over. You may be a single parent. You may be a caregiver. You may have a blended family. You may be in school while also becoming a parent for the first time. You may be leaving corporate America, starting a business as the first one in your family. You may be transitioning into or out of the military. There may be a ministry transition taking place. You could be divorced, widowed. You may be an immigrant. Maybe you're rebuilding financially. Maybe you have some type of chronic illness. Maybe you are adopting children and your family looks different in that way, or fostering children. Maybe you come from a certain background where, let's say an immigrant background, where it's tradition for your family to fall into the career categories of doctor or lawyer, but you're deciding to do something more creative and artistic, and that's not traditional for your culture or your background. Maybe your culture and background is a whole different faith, a whole different religion, and you being a Christian is non-traditional. So I wanted to provide these examples because being non-traditional comes in so many different formats. In the context that I'm speaking on may be from being a non-traditional student, but I believe that the message remains. And I want to encourage you and share some of the wisdom that I've learned over the last years in this topic, because I believe that those of you who listen to this show, I view you as powerhouses. I view you as chosen, accomplished, driven, phenomenal women and men who have committed to the Lord, His plan, His vision for your life. And a lot of the plans come in the form of entrepreneurship, because we talk about business here, but it also comes in the form of ministry. And we know that God isn't boxed in. So what He may call you to do, whether it's your business or your life, will likely encompass different industries, different methods, different formats, many of which I would dare to say are non-traditional. When we look in the Bible, we see a lot of non-traditional people that the Lord has used for great things. We look at Abraham, who the Lord chose and used in a mighty way when he was in his 70s. Sarah, who had a baby, her first child, in her 80s. that is beyond non-traditional. Child, these days, folks act like you expire at 30. Imagine you having a baby at 80 in today's time when they call you a geriatric pregnancy at 35. Moses was 80 years old when the Lord called him to lead. Esther was an orphan, a minority. She was a woman, and she was placed in the palace. Joseph went from a pit to slavery to prison to the palace. Non-traditional. Deborah in Judges was a female judge, a prophet, and a military leader in a culture where leadership was overwhelmingly male. Non-traditional. Paul was a highly educated Pharisee. But God redirected his entire life. Non-traditional. In our ultimate example, Jesus, born in a stable, raised in Nazareth, he was a carpenter, no political influence, no wealth, humble and non-traditional. I love in Isaiah 53, it says, starting at verse 2, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted amongst the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels." What is more non-traditional than that? What is more non-traditional than the life and the mission and the calling of our Lord and Savior? And I end my examples with the example, because many times we can get caught up when we're on a non-traditional path and looking around at everything versus looking up to the one who gave us an assignment in the first place. It's easy to look around and compare ourselves. It's easy to, for especially for us intellectuals, to do research and studies to see how the industry has operated thus far that we're entering into, doing research on the firms or the companies that we're looking to work for, doing research on the career paths that we are looking to enter into, doing research on the businesses and the details, and comparing ourselves to how do we measure up to those who have been successful? What traits do we share that we can try to mitigate with those that have failed? In that comparison, looking at these people doing things the more traditional way that may seem easier on social media, or looking at the baby and house and engagement announcements and all of the things that remind us that we're on a different path than what seems to be the most natural and normal, it can be very heavy. It can be isolating. It could be disappointing. And I want to encourage those who are in this space, because I felt all of these emotions over the last year. When the Lord first gave me the instruction to go back to school, I was nervous. I wanted to be sure of the decision. I talked to you guys before about the process of making sure that this was the Lord leading me, because it's a huge task to undertake. After I got the confirmation that it was Him, after I got accepted into the school I was looking to attend, then it was time to prepare. And then it was exciting. You know, you tell people you're going to law school, it's generally received well. Folks start thinking about how you're going to help them legally. It's a very respectable profession. But then the reality of being non-traditional set in. I had just had my daughter. I was 7 weeks postpartum when I started school. My other kids were 2 and 5 at the time. My son was starting kindergarten. Of course, I still am married, so I still have to be a wife and take care of my home. But with all of that, I was still optimistic. I was encouraged by knowing that the Lord brought me here, so surely He would take care of all of this. The Lord understood my circumstances. So what may seem like a lot going on to other people, and there's a lot going on to me too, but the Lord will, His grace is sufficient. And that was a scripture that I really held close to my heart. But I'm still human. And I am one that doesn't like to spiritually bypass my emotions. I like to not sulk in them, but acknowledge them. I don't bypass my humanity and try to call that faith, because it's inaccurate and totally unhelpful. But nevertheless, I remember the first day of orientation, and that's when my non-traditional status felt the heaviest. I'm looking around at my classmates who are generally 10 years younger than me. And there are some folks, maybe a handful, who are older than me. But generally, law school is comprised of early 20s. They go to undergrad, because law school, you don't need a master's degree. It's the only like doctoral level education that you don't need to go to a master's first. So a lot of them are coming straight from undergrad. You go straight to law school. Typically, you're not permitted to work your first year of law school, because it is definitely all consuming. And those students who are non-traditional are typically in like evening programs. I'm in the day program, full-time student versus part-time. Reason being, I felt like 4 years was too long. Also, classes were at night. And the evening time is time that I didn't want to sacrifice for school. I didn't want to sacrifice dinner with my family, spending quality time with my children after they get out of school. That wasn't worth sacrificing to me. And of course, I'm a business owner, so I have flexibility and not a traditional 9-to-5. So I chose to go to the day program. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. They say that every day your business is late to AI, you fall 2 days behind. But how do you keep up? The competition is only moving faster. Fortunately, that's NetSuite Next. You probably know NetSuite, the AI-powered business management suite that securely connects all of your data. It's a unified suite that brings your financials, inventory, commerce, HR, and CRM into one single source of truth, trusted by over 43,000 customers. NetSuite Next is the next huge leap in how business gets done, because AI is built into everything that you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day. AI agents work alongside you to solve problems and handle routine work. And anytime you have a question about anything, ask, just like you're having a conversation with a colleague. NetSuite is customized for a wide range of industries, so it supports the way your business truly works. Whether your company earns millions or even hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next, where your business meets AI. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free. If your revenues are at least in the seven figures, go to netsuitenext.ai/blessed. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom, netsuite.ai/blessed. This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. AI is only as smart as what you put into it. And those breakthroughs, the one that actually make your life easier, happens when the AI is built for exactly what you need. ShipStation's AI isn't a general purpose tool. It's specialized, trained on decades of real shipping data, and billions, with a B, of actual orders. ShipStation is an end-to-end order fulfillment platform for e-commerce businesses. Powered by AI trained on decades of data from billions of shipments across the world. ShipStation adapts to your unique business, alerting you when stock is low, recommending the best carrier selections and rates, and automating tasks to save you time so that you can stay one step ahead. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. Y'all know I am an AI lover, and I use it for productivity. I use it as a personal assistant, and I use it to make my life easier. Shipping should work the same way. And if you're going to trust AI to make decisions, you want to trust the company with more shipping data than anyone else in the game. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code BLESSED. That's ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. Taxes and fees apply. This episode is brought to you by IXL. It's back to school time, and we just moved, so new teachers, we have new schedules, and new expectations. Thankfully, we have IXL, which makes it easy to spot and close any potential learning gaps in just a few minutes a day. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to help kids get back to a learning routine and start the school year confident and prepared. Y'all know how I feel about IXL. We are a IXL household. My son loves it. I love it. And now my preschooler is excited to get his own profile so that he can start learning on IXL as well. IXL is proven to improve grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. And if you have multiple kids like me, one subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today. to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. So here I am, first day of orientation, people 10 years younger than me. I'm breastfeeding. So we have these long days of sessions and learning about the school and learning about what this experience is going to take for us. My breasts are filling up and I could feel it. It's time to go pump. So I have to leave and find the lactation room. Like, the school, even the lactation room was a whole situation, to say the least, for my first semester. So for orientation, a lot of times I had to go to my car to pump, and I'm missing out on information, and I had to go store my milk and then go back. And then a couple hours later, go do the same thing. I can't stay and mingle with and network with my classmates after class because I have to get home to grab my children and make dinner and all the things. I can't go to professor's office hours a lot of the times because I have to get home. And so there, the disadvantages of being non-traditional were very clear really early. And so the self-doubt starts to kick in. where I'm thinking, man, am I really going to be able to do this? Everybody's talking about all of the time that it takes. I remember we had a session because your first year, they have you take this lab class, which essentially is like a class that helps you be a good student. And we were getting ready to go on Thanksgiving break. And we were talking a lot about like the holidays and finals were coming up. And the professor had us create our study schedule because our break from school before tests was on Thanksgiving. And they were like, y'all tell your families that you're not going to be able to participate in Thanksgiving. You're not going to be able to be home. You got to study. Go get your plate and then go back to studying. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, nah, that's not going to work. Because the holidays are for my family. Like, I can't. I grew up in a way where my mother was chasing entrepreneurship. She was in a network marketing company. And she was in her peak really quickly. So right when she joined the business, I was maybe like 7 or so. And she advanced pretty quickly to be a high income earner. And she was traveling a lot, all the meetings, all that comes with recruiting folks for network marketing companies. And so her dream in achieving this level of financial success that she wanted came at the sacrifice of a lot of quality time between us. And so even to this day, there's a foundational aspect of our relationship that's just simply not there, that could have only been built through time and trust and closeness in those formative years. And a lot of the things that she would do, I would hear her speak on these stages about what she's doing for her children, for her family, so that we could live a life that she didn't. But there were a lot of things that she wasn't doing with us that sacrificed the closeness. We had stuff for a good period of time. We had nice, I had all the little designer things I wanted. At that time, it was Juicy Couture and Marc Jacobs and all the millennial fashions that we liked in the 99s and 2000s. But I didn't have a shoulder to cry on when I was going through something. I didn't have someone there to take me to the store to buy my sanitary products when I got my period for the first time, and just little things like that. And so for me, I am driven by that a lot of times in the back of my head when it comes to my ambition and achieving things, because I never want to sacrifice closeness and presence with my husband and my children. So when they were explaining this to me of you're going to miss this, you're going to miss that, I start to get discouraged because I'm like, I cannot and will not do that. And then I was reminded again, His grace is sufficient. And I finished that semester at the top of my class. Something else that weighed really heavily on me was in the law school experience, usually every summer is spent working at some type of internship. Your first year summer internship, second year summer internship. And typically during that second year summer, you're offered a full-time position. So you go into your third and final year of law school already knowing where you're going to work. That's typically how it goes. And so once you finish school, you take the bar and you start your job. This brought me some anxiety because I'm non-traditional, I thought that it was unlikely that I would get an internship. I'm doing my resume for the first time in like 10 years because I've worked for myself for so long. My resume consists of businesses, companies that I'm the founder and CEO of. And something that I've been so proud of, which is my entrepreneur background, is now, in my opinion, a disadvantage compared to more traditional students who during undergrad, like they've always wanted to be lawyers. During undergrad, they majored in pre-law or political science or something of the sort. They worked at law firms even in undergrad. Now they're coming into law school with legal experience and undergraduate education in legal studies of some sort. And here I am, this 34-year-old mom with 3 kids who's been a business owner for the last 10 plus years, doing absolutely nothing that involved law in the traditional sense. It was frustrating for me. And so his grace being sufficient was one thing, but it was that scripture wasn't working as well when it came to me facing the practical realities, because I didn't just need his grace. I needed his favor. I needed his strategy to take the reality of my background and communicate it in a way that is competitive against others who are more traditional. And you may ask, well, Tatum, why are you going within law school this traditional route of the internships and the summers, et cetera? And the reason being is my ultimate goal, of course, is always entrepreneurship. Adding legal knowledge to what I already do is a very easy extension to my brand. I am the type of person when it comes to business where I like to be well-rounded and I like to have a variety and a diverse perspective to be able to help those that I serve. And so I feel as if I can use this season of my life to be able to go into these internships, into these various companies, and get exposed to how certain industries are doing business, because I'm looking for things in like business law, of course. If I can go and see how these agencies, firms, companies are doing business in a way in which they navigate the legal landscape, the way in which they mitigate risk, how they secure and grow their business using the legal side, I can then come back to those that I serve through my own business with way more than just education. I can come back with wisdom and knowledge and experience via circumstances that is not just readily accessible to everybody. And so that is my mindset of how can I multiply all of what is involved in this journey to better be able to pour back into those that the Lord will have me serve. And so that's why I'm choosing to be traditional in that sense of going like the internship route. And also, law school, I'm paying money for this. I'm not taking on clients or anything of the sort, working with podcasters in any way. My children still need their college funds funded, their investments funds funded. So I will likely also do corporate for a bit, pay off my loans, stack and invest aggressively as I build what the Lord has called me to build in this space, because that is the wise thing to do. So nevertheless, being non-traditional was heavy in that process of looking for internships, because all I saw was my deficits compared to where I was going. And the Lord just proved to me how the enemy, when you are a non-traditional in whatever context, this is why I took the time to show and explain all the different ways that non-traditional paths can show up. The enemy will make you think that what you fear is truth. He will distort your reality to try to take away from what God is doing. If you are in your 30s and you haven't had a child yet and you're facing this non-traditional path, let's say you're freezing your eggs, let's say you're going through IVF, let's say you're still waiting for your husband, whatever the case may be, and you're looking at this timeline of, oh, the statistics say that after 35, there are some medical implications of my ability to have healthy children, to carry children, to deliver children. The outcomes are different after I hit this age. You're looking at this timeline and you're looking at your circumstances, and the enemy wants to breed fear. You're never going to find your husband. You're never going to be able to have a child. You're going to be an old, and I'm using air quotes, parent. And then that fear starts to feel real, and it doesn't make sense, and it's heavy, and it's emotional. Maybe you're starting a business for the first time and you're going from corporate to entrepreneurship, and you're looking at the security of a paycheck that you know is coming every 2 weeks, the health insurance that you pay into, you know that you can go to a doctor if you get sick. You could get your teeth cleaned twice a year. You can take care of your health and wellness needs. You don't have to worry about the company beyond the role that you play. And now you're going into entrepreneurship where you're wearing all the hats, where it's a lot less secure, where health insurance is a lot more expensive. And you're looking at that and what the Lord is calling you to do, and you're looking at where you came from, which feels a lot more comfortable, and then here comes fear, here comes heaviness, here comes comparison, here comes all the emotions that I'm sure you're feeling right now. And so I'm slow walking through my story because the Bible says that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm slow walking this story because I love to go to Hebrews 11 and read the Hall of Faith and the testimonies of those the Lord has done great things through to build my own faith when he's calling me to do something scary. So I'm sharing my story, not just to talk about my journey, because it's been a year. I haven't gone into this much detail at all ever. But I believe that there are some of you who need encouragement through this non-traditional path because it is also isolating. And we'll talk about that in a second because I have just some things that I want you to take to be encouraged. But to put a bow on this segment of non-traditional and the fear of finding an internship, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time, but I don't know that we've actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. The reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how useful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certification across a range of mental health specialties. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Over my winter break for school, I just started applying aggressively. Through prayer, using AI, I was able to communicate my story through my application materials of like cover letters and resumes, etc. I was able to communicate my story in a way that maximized the strengths of my background, that emphasized the strengths in what I was able to do my first semester in school, and use that, and especially use my cover letters to explain my story in a way that was beneficial to the job posting. I ended up with a spring internship where I worked with a real estate investment firm working directly with general counsel. And guess what? Experience helped with that. Anchor Media Studios, my business, owning commercial real estate. And so I worked directly with general counsel who handled all the legal matters of the company. It was a small firm, so I got the ability to, or a small company, it wasn't a firm, a small company where I got exposed to so many different legal matters by working with the GC. I got to see how companies make decisions, how companies use legal to make decisions, how legal mitigates risk to advise the company and to be a business advisor and not just a lawyer. I got to see how, from the inside, a multi-million dollar company operated, how they went about acquiring these assets, how they purchased real estate. I got to see what those mortgage documents looked like. I got to see what the investor agreements looked like when investors got together and purchased real estate. So I'm involved and exposed to some really interesting things. And it is my background that I thought was my disadvantage that was my advantage. And then because I'm coming from running my own business, once I got into the role, I'm able to truly take ownership of it and not just be an inexperienced 21-year-old intern who was in their first professional role. I come in there like, hey, let's get to it. And being very impressive because of my background. This summer, I was able to work within one of the largest, this is a Fortune 100 company, a multi-billion dollar company. Went from working in the legal department of a multi-million dollar company to working in the legal department of a multi-billion dollar company and learning what it takes to be an advisor, because the legal department within a corporation, yes, they mitigate risk, they handle the legal aspects, but they're also like business partners and advisors where you have to just take, you can't just be the lawyer that's like, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can do that. You have to mitigate risk, use the law to mitigate risk and also grow the business and be able to advise the business based off of what the law says. And in this particular company, because I'm based in DC, I also saw how these major corporations engage with Capitol Hill. So I was able to spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill, had meetings in the Senate, in the House, different congressional hearings, and was exposed to different trade organizations that lobby on behalf of these companies. Sat in meetings with these lobbying firms to hear about the strategy that goes behind getting certain legislation passed, learning again how the corporation engages with these stakeholders to be able to ultimately meet the needs of the business. And this experience was so eye-opening to me. And guess what helped me get that role? I connected with, the final person I interviewed with was a senior vice president of the company. And we connected on being non-traditional. He was also a non-traditional student. And his wife, I believe he told me, was also a non-traditional law student as well. My background in speaking and leadership served me as an easy standout amongst my peers. I'm not afraid to ask questions. I articulate myself well. I come into a room confident, professional, and that works in my favor. When I hear from different executives that I've spoken with, a lot of the traits that they say that they look for and that makes great lawyers who work in business specifically are those that can be business minded, that can be solution oriented, that can be all of the things that I've learned to be as an entrepreneur. The legal side is adding depth, of course, to my experience, but my experience still is something that is paramount in helping me navigate this season successfully. And so as I reflected on this past year, as I'm getting ready to go into year two, I brought this conversation to the podcast because I've seen in so many ways how His grace is sufficient and how Romans 8:28 tells us God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose for them. And so if you are on that non-traditional path, I want to remind you that every part of your story that you may feel is late, that you may feel is too old, that you may feel is ill-timed, that you may feel is unconventional, that other people don't understand, the Lord will cause them to work together for your good. According to this purpose, this non-traditional purpose that He has for you. So be encouraged. And more practically, understand that there are advantages. One thing that I've definitely learned over this past year, even though my emotions and the enemy wanted to believe that me being non-traditional in this space was a hindrance, it was actually very much so an advantage in a lot of ways. First of all, you have perspective based off of your life experience that traditionally you may not have had you gone whatever the typical path is for what you're doing. Life taught me more than what my law school textbooks have taught me. When it comes to working with clients, and one of the things in my program, we do clinical. So this year I'll be a licensed student attorney and I'll be able to take clients in DC. And so in doing that, my life experience and my background, building a client relationship and customer service and rapport is easy because I've been doing that. We had an assignment this past semester where we had an oral argument where we did like a mock hearing where me and opposing counsel were arguing two different sides. And my classmates, public speaking is very much so a fear of most people. I have been a speaker for the last 10 years. I can stand in front of a room in front of anybody and give a message. So I knew how to prepare to speak. I walked into the room confident. My professor commended me on my presence and my confidence and ability to communicate. That is from my experience and my background. One thing I've learned about my younger colleagues, and I know there are those of you who listen to the show who are younger than me, there's something about the Gen Z era where you guys, when it comes to any type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Adversity, y'all struggle with that. I was talking to someone recently and they were considering going back to school. So they were like late 20s, considering going back to school. And she was like, I just don't know how I would even go back to school while I still work. Like, that just seems like too much to work and go to school. And I cackled on the inside because I'm like, excuse me. she was like, I don't know how y'all do it. It was like other parents who were around during this conversation. And she was like, how do you guys do it? And she asked me, like, how are you going to school and also having kids and businesses and stuff? And I'm like, one thing parenthood and specifically has taught me is you figure it out. It's really as simple as that. Life and parenthood have taught me that you just figure it out. And that is simple, but it is so useful. So when adversity comes and I have deadlines with class and I have exams coming up, but my kids have things going on, we figure it out. What am I willing to sacrifice? What am I not? I told y'all that quality time and presence is something I am unwilling to sacrifice. So I wake up early a lot to study. I stay up late a lot to study. I arrange play dates for my kids during exam times. This last exam period, there's a mom in one of my son's classes who has like a pop-in daycare. And my son really got along with her daughter. And we went to their house one time she did like a Friendsgiving for all the kids. And my kids loved it. They had a blast. And they kept asking me afterwards, oh, can we go back to such and such's house? Like, they had a good old time. I was like, perfect. Her mama do drop-in daycare. Say less. So during exam season, a couple Sundays, I would arrange for my kids to go to her house. They had a ball. They were there for an extended period. I was able to get studying done. And then when they came home, we did like a movie night or something together. This Saturday before, we would like go to breakfast together or to park or some type of quality time. And then I'll have that extended period for study. So they're enjoying themselves, doing things that they love to do. And I'm able to make it work with studying. So life experience will teach you things that textbooks can't. And whatever your path is, you have to value your experience. The enemy wants you to diminish your experience. He wants you to feel like time has been wasted. He wants you to feel like God has forgotten about you. He wants you to feel like you're late to the game. And that is not true. The Lord is divinely orchestrating your path. And non-traditional is not less than. It gives you advantages and you should honor those advantages. Thank the Lord for those advantages. Lean into those advantages because they will benefit you for ultimately what he's calling you to do. When you're non-traditional, you value the opportunity at hand because you know the sacrifices it took to get to where you are. You know the sacrifices it took to wait for that husband. You know the sacrifices it took to wait to have your first child. You know the sacrifices it took for you to go back to school. You know the sacrifices that it took for you to provide for your family. And now you're an empty nester and now you could put yourself first. You know those sacrifices. And so when that is the case, you value opportunity a lot more. I am extremely focused in school because I don't have time to waste. I'm focused when I have these opportunities, I'm maximizing these opportunities. I'm not passively in these spaces. I'm collecting business cards. I'm building relationships. I'm learning, being introduced to other folks. I'm learning the depths and the nuances of things that other people may not know to ask because of they don't have as much life experience. I value the opportunity because there are people invested in my success here. So I'm not here to play around. Something going wrong in a class isn't going to derail me. Because life and being non-traditional has also made us more resilient. We have survived hard things. So what is this? The enemy wants to make this path that the Lord has us on feel all consuming, feel crushing. But my God says that I'm hard pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. He says that I'll go through the fire and not smell like smoke. So what is adversity? What is this distorted reality that the enemy is trying to put in front of me to get me to quit compared to my God? And so when we are non-traditional, that resilience, that understanding of what we've been through makes it that much easier to successfully navigate where we are. And we navigate it better than those who may be on traditional paths. I've seen folks break down in tears at school. And I'm like, I mean, if I don't get a grade that I want, an A, getting a B over an A or a C over an A is not going to break me. I've been through worse than a bad grade, like be for real. I've been through worse than this. Ain't no exam going to crush me. I'll be fine because I've always been fine. And so it's just that level of perspective that we have that makes navigating things easier when we're non-traditional than if we were to go on the more traditional path. Something that was so subtle this last semester that blessed me was we all had like a hard exam. I think midterms was coming up and it was a civil procedure class. And our professor is just he was a tough professor. And we were all struggling. And this was one of those times where I was like, okay, I have to stay on campus late. So I arranged for my mom to have my kids and everything so I didn't have to leave school and go straight home. I just stayed on campus to study. And then once I went home, I went to sleep. And so one of my classmates who was a more traditional student, no kids or anything like that, he had put in our group chat, he was like, man, I'm encouraged by all the moms that's still here. Because it was like 8, 9 p.m. And I'm not the only parent in my class. And we were all in there in the library deep, late, because we knew how tough this exam was going to be. But, you know, the comments from other classmates of like, man, I know if the moms are still here or if the parents are still here, like I don't have no excuse. And so it felt good for our non-traditional presence to be encouraging because it communicates a level of resilience when it's like, man, all I have to do is study. I don't have anything else to do but study, go to class, like, and apply for jobs and internships or whatever. You got a family, y'all got all this other stuff going on, and yet y'all are still here putting in the work. There's that mutual respect. And so the thing that you may be discouraged about will bring a level of camaraderie and respect amongst your peers. And even with me and my professors, I've been able to relate to a lot of my professors because we have similar experiences, and that helps build rapport and build relationships and connections that are going to be beneficial for me professionally. So I have professors who have kids the same age as mine, and so we may talk about that, and it just helps in a subtle way versus me being 21, green, young, and the more traditional student. So again, there are advantages to your non-traditional status, and the enemy doesn't want you to see them. And I pray that as we've been going through this episode, that you're starting to see them, that you're starting to be encouraged, that you're starting to, that voice that is trying to make you feel less than and make you doubt what God said and make you hesitant about even being obedient in the first place. I pray that that voice is getting quieter and quieter. And to land the plane, I want to give you some practical encouragement as you continue on your non-traditional path. First, stop comparing timelines. Stop comparing timelines, whether it's via social media or those around you. Stop comparing. God writes all of our individual stories in the order in which He chooses. I gave you those examples of folks in the Bible who the Lord used later in life because I want you to have examples that you can go back to and study in your word. I think I mentioned Esther, Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Paul, Joseph. All of those are people that you can go and study the timeline of their lives and see that their path was non-traditional. Secondly, instead of obsessing over where you are not, start to steward where you are. Instead of thinking about I shoulda, coulda, woulda, God, why now and not then? God, when and why not now? Instead of those type of lines of questioning, steward where you are right now. If you are in that space where you are still waiting for the Lord to bless you with children, enjoy being child free. And I'm telling you, this is somebody with three whole beautiful and all consuming children. Enjoy your time now. Travel, see the countries that you want to see. Let me tell you, I got a family of five. It is a lot. It costs a lot for us to travel together. It's expensive. I still have not taken all of my three kids somewhere yet. Because, listen, that's just a task that I'm just not ready for right now. So I'm going to go by myself, or me and my husband are going to go. We're going to take road trips for now. I'm not ready for three kids on a flight just yet. But travel, enjoy your money, enjoy your time, enjoy your body before children change it up. Enjoy and steward where you are right now. If you're waiting to be married, enjoy your singleness. Have fun. Go out. Explore. And I'm talking about explore like culture, surroundings, cities, food, not men or women. I'm not saying that. I'm saying enjoy your life. Steward your gifts. Give back. Get involved in your local church. Do the things that you enjoy, big or small, but live your life and steward where you are right now. And going back to school, steward the season of being a student. Even in the fears and things that I had of being a non-traditional student, I have loved being a student. I have loved being immersed in something very new. I have thoroughly enjoyed learning the law. It has been such a great experience. I call it like a toxic relationship because it's so hard, but I love it. As much as I know that I'm going to dread all the reading that's coming my way, I'm looking forward to hopping back into it. I'm checking to see when the syllabus will be posted and where I could dive into first. Steward this season. You steward your seasons also by having joy and being grateful for them. The next tip I want to give you is don't apologize for your experience. Don't apologize for being a mom. Don't apologize for not being a mom yet. Don't apologize for being older. Don't apologize for being younger. Don't apologize for any of the things that classify you as non-traditional. Your experience is your experience, and it will prepare you for what God has for you, period. The next tip I want to give you is find your people, and whatever God has called you to, find your people. I can't tell you the good conversation that I've had with. There's another mom in my class who also had a baby. My baby was born in June. Her baby was born in May. She has five kids. I have three, also married, and she's military. And we're on this law school journey together. We've had so many great conversations in the lactation room. We both sitting there pumping and studying. It's understood because our time is limited. We're not in there talking all the time. Our conversations are usually like we're grabbing our stuff and getting ready to go home, or we both just got there and kind of putting our stuff up in the lactation room before going to class. We both know, like during that lunch break that we had, we don't say that much to each other because we're focused, we're quiet, we're getting stuff done because that's the time that we have to use. because being or having that time away from our families is limited. But there have been times where I'm like, hey, how are you studying? Because I'm finding it difficult sometimes to study at home because of the kids and all of that. And she'll give me tips and I'll give her tips. And she might not make it to class. There have been a couple times where like her kid has been sick and she's had to miss class. And I'm like, hey, this is what happened. I'll send her my notes or whatever, and vice versa. So being able to find like-minded people matters. I have another classmate that I got really close to. She's non-traditional, but she's still a few years younger than me. I think she's 29 and I'm 34. So I'm a little older than her and she's single, no kids, but we live near each other. And so we had like a commute back and forth to school. We both had lived in the time in Maryland and attend school in DC. And so we would be able to meet in Maryland. So she lived maybe 15 minutes from me. So we would meet and study sometimes on the weekends in a library, because both of us couldn't go all the way back to the school for the library because that was too much of a commute on the weekend. And so just find your people and connect with them, and they will be there. And you will have people that you connect with on different things, but find your people because that community is going to be helpful. And the last tip I want to give you is let the Lord define success in this season. It's non-traditional, but it is His path for you. So trust Him and let Him define what success looks like. At the end of the semesters, on my drive home after I finish my last exam, I will always say, God, are you pleased? Are you pleased with my performance? Grades haven't came out yet. I'm good on what the grades will say. I put in enough work to where I know I passed. Anything beyond that is my achieving nature wanting to take over. So God, are you pleased? And heaven is the only applause that I'm looking for. It's like that, and that has been built even with business. Being a Christian entrepreneur, the only applause I'm looking for is one. The only one I'm looking to please is one. And that has translated into this season as well. God, are you pleased? And let Him define what success looks like. Not the outcome you're looking for, but Him. So I pray that this episode has blessed you. I pray that you are encouraged, that you have a little bit more peace and contentment with what non-tradition looks like for you, and that you have a more gratitude for the season that you're in, even if it looks different than what you expected or what the typical path may be. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.